Everything Fraser Coast. I'm Jussie Lindeberg, your host. And today on my journey around the Fraser Coast, where I find all the positive stories of the exciting things people are doing, I've met an interesting man called Andre Carpenter. And Andre is a soul performer and his band is called Soul City. Hey, how you going, Andre?
Yeah, I'm all right, thank you. Nice to be here.
I've internet stalked you on Facebook.
That's not a problem.
And managed to squeeze into your really busy full-time work schedule.
Not a problem at all. Yeah. I don't mind being Facebook stalked.
So really interested to hear a bit of your background and then we'll sort of roll into what Soul City's all about.
Sure.
But sitting before me, I love a man with a beard. And a nice dark beard because little do you know that I can't see your face other than this floating beard and lovely dark hair, and you're a mountain of a man.
Yeah, 6'3" or something. Yeah.
Just a little shorty.
Yeah.
And I must have to say, I sound like I'm flirting with you, but you've got a great voice for podcasts.
Okay, thank you. Unfortunately, I can't change that.
Okay, I promise that's the last compliment. Maybe not.
And I can't really describe, you know, for the listeners how the beard is, but I mean, I suppose it's short.
Oh, well, you've probably seen it in the preview by now.
Yeah, I dare say. Plenty of Facebook videos and so forth.
Yeah, so sitting before me is a man who loves soul music, but let's find a little bit about you first. Sure. So how long have you been in Hervey Bay for?
2008 I moved here from Brisbane. My wife and my family moved up here just for a different taste of life, to do something different. I'd been studying conservatorium in Brisbane and working in Brisbane, different various roles, and we just felt we wanted a fresh start somewhere different. Followed my mother-in-law up to the region.
Wow, that doesn't normally happen.
Surprise. Yeah, no, she came up and bought
it. She must be awesome.
Yeah, well, I get along with her very, very well.
Nice.
So she came up here and bought a property, and I think a month later my wife and I decided we wanted one up here as well. Threw caution to the wind and took our fortunes in our hands, and we just sort of put the house on the market and to see what we could get for it and where we could go, and it sold within 24 hours. So we had no choice.
It was gone.
That's it. And we were fortunate enough to just walk into roles up here, which were completely different from what we were doing in Brisbane. So things just fell into place for us. We were very, very fortunate.
So
you just made it work.
That's fantastic. So you mentioned you studied at the Conservatorium of Music.
Yep.
So is your career in music a full-time career?
Not now. It was for quite a long while. I was heavily involved with brass bands and teaching music in schools. When I moved to the region here in 2008, I began teaching in some of the schools locally as well. And eventually I just felt I was starting to lose a bit of that passion and drive that I really needed to be able to impart onto the kids. So I felt that, in fact, one of my colleagues said to me, well, you know, you don't have to be a teacher if you don't want to be. And I think that was a bit of a turning point for me. So, up until then I'd always followed what I was good at and followed what my sort of family had helped guide me to do, which was music. And now we come just at that stage, I thought, well, yes, I can apply myself to anything I really want to do. So, yeah, my full-time job now is a nurse.
Oh, wow. Didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, that's a bit of a change. I found that my wife wanted to become a nurse as well, so we decided to study it together. And I thought, well, why not? Here's a great opportunity to learn something different. And I found, actually, that the preparation I'd done in memorising classical music for years and years just meant that I had the ability to just memorise data and memorise, you know, the anatomy. And it was, I surprised myself with how comfortable I was in the health scene. And
wow.
It really obviously didn't start off as a passion. It was just something extra to do, something different as a change of career to sort of see where it would take me. But you know, really in the end, it really became a really strong passion, and obviously I've done it for quite a while now. So, yeah, enjoying it.
That's fantastic. And that's amazing to study with your wife as well.
Yeah. That look, when she...
What's her name?
My wife's name's Anna.
Hi, Anna. Shout out to Anna.
Yeah.
I don't like saying Anna. The wife.
No, fair enough. I'm sure she wouldn't appreciate it either.
Yeah, no.
But, look, she suggested it, changing her career and doing something a little bit different on the phone to her sister one day when she was in the lounge room, and I thought, well, if you're going to do it, I may as well do it too.
Okay, well...
So let's run with that.
So you told me you haven't listened to one of my podcasts.
Oh, yes. Let me under the list.
But I've got to ask you the question that everybody's thinking.
Sure.
Do you play dress-ups like nurses at home?
Oh, well. Actually, now that you mention it, it hadn't crossed my mind. But thanks for the,
not doctors thanks for and the nurses. Info. All right, so let's get to the real guts of the story. Right. So Soul City is your band.
Yeah, it is.
And I'd love to hear about this. So you're a nurse full time, but you've also got this really rockin' band. So let's hear that story.
Well, as a performer, and I've always been involved in high quality music throughout the state, no matter what I've done. I've performed at national levels and multiple competitions, particularly in the brass band scene. And I needed to continue performing at that high level. And I was finding that when I was teaching, a lot of the kids coming through weren't picking up those brass instruments. They weren't picking up the trumpets, the saxophones, the trombones, the tubas even, or the euphoniums. There was a really distinct, you've got quite a few people that take up clarinet, and occasional people take up saxophone, and, some of the younger kids like flute. But I was just really lacking that drive and that high quality performance. The experience that I had when I was growing up, I was really fortunate to grow up with a cohort of people who were all high quality performers and really pushed me. Basically, I was really driven by competition, and I was very fortunate to grow up in that situation. And unfortunately, I wasn't seeing that locally. So I decided that I need an avenue to sell to the kids what you can do with these instruments. So, see a trumpet player in action, see what they can do. And not only, and while the Arts Council of Queensland does that with travelling artists up and down the coast, they do that outreach in schools, but there's nothing really that sort of provides that entertainment value. Yeah, I noticed a big gap in the local area between the music teachers, who are the trained ones that teach everyone how to do what they do with music, and the local performers that are invited to perform for the Business and Tourism Awards and the local pub performance scene. There was a really big gap, and basically no one talked to each other. So I decided, a whole heap of musicians around town. I was fortunate enough to have a whole heap of contacts, and I tried to pull a few of them together, and I said, look, we've got to bridge this gap between the performers and the teachers, and we, at the same time, we can also show parents and kids how to play these instruments at a good level. Yeah. And try and boost those numbers and those recruitment numbers so that 5-6 years down the track, the kids are saying, oh yeah, I'm going to take up saxophone because I've seen this band around town and there's a great saxophone player. And so that's where the whole idea was born from. It was a recruitment drive.
It's absolutely true. Can I share with you something? Yeah, so sure. When I was in primary school, I really wanted to learn the saxophone, but I was pushed towards the violin, so I really wanted to do the violin too. But my music teacher was a saxophone player, saxophone. I had seen him performing at Dreamworld, and he was a regular gig at Dreamworld. He's very good at brass instrument. It was seeing him that made me always want to do that. So this story gets funnier because when I was older, when I was like 18, I went to Hong Kong on a holiday. So I just ended up at a music shop, and there was this saxophone, and it was quite affordable considering I was an Australian dollars in Hong Kong.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So here I am, 18 year old, buy a saxophone, staying in the Ramada, which was pretty fancy.
Yeah. that's
but
not really
but what do you
fancy.
Do when you buy a saxophone?
No, that's it. You gotta pull it out.
You gotta pull it out and blow it. So apologies to everybody that was on the 12th floor of the Ramada in Kowloon. while I learnt to play the saxophone those first few couple of days, which was just squeaky heaven.
Marvellous. That's just marvellous. So, yeah, if there's ever a country to go to town on, you can't hear the difference between the saxophone and the honking horns outside.
Yeah, that's totally it.
Why not?
So that gets us to where you've filled that gap
with
Soul City. So what a great way. It's totally community focused.
That was where it was born from, absolutely. Yeah. But it was never initially soul. It was just us playing stuff which we thought was accessible music to people. It was a really it came down to a combination of a multitude of rehearsals, which we sat in a shed out the back of Yarralee there somewhere, and we all sat down and just tried to work out what sort of music we liked. I initially purchased something like, I think there was about 16 pieces of music from an online store somewhere that cost far too much, because we were all readers, we were all classically trained and music teachers, so we must read the dots, and that's where it was born from. So we just laid out what we thought was accessible, and then as we progressed, we found that some of the stuff which actually contained horns, so the trumpets, trombones and saxophones, most of the music which contained those instruments was soul music, basically. And it grew on us. And then, of course, Brian's focus was, and Brian's our lead singer, of course, Scottish, and his focus at that time, he made it very, very clear to us that his heart was in the soul of music, really, and it was soul music in the old Otis Redding songs and the Wilson Pickets that really just that enabled him to just open up and take the music to another place, and he could really indulge in it. So we sort of ran with that a little bit, and really he was dead on, because it fitted our feel and our genre and our attitude really nicely. We were very, very straight initially, and you must do the repeat here, and you must go back to verse one here.
Oh, were you all music teachers?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Who was in charge?
Unfortunately, I was. But I was driving it really, really hard to stick very, very close to the originals and basically copy exactly what the CDs did, which worked for us and got us through a bit. But as we've developed and as we've moved on, we've tend to have come away from that music significantly now. Yes, the music's there as a bit of a backup for us, and it's great for us to get into a rehearsal room and look at the dots and see what the original artists did and performed it, or how they performed it. But now we look at it and we go, we're going to do something a little bit different here.
Yeah, it's coming from within now.
Yeah, it is. And it's really grown us. So the name, really, what the Soul City wasn't born for at least, probably about 3 months or so.
Yeah. So you mentioned Brian.
Yes. And
so who else is in the band?
Okay, so we've got a few. Brian Spears, our lead vocalist. He hails from Scotland. I think he performed in the... as a backing vocalist for Michael Bolton, as well as he performed on the INXS, one of the INXS Australia tours as well. Very experienced. I think he was one of the first graduates through the Paul McCartney School of Music. Yeah, so he's very experienced. He's got a fantastic voice that emulates some of the great artists. Yeah, some of the stuff that he sings when he gets right into it is just spine-chilling. Yeah, he does a really good job. We've also got our backup vocalist, Alexi, who's taken on more of a lead role recently. She does a lot of the female tracks. Oh, look, she does an amazing Aretha Franklin.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, and even, I think, Gloria Gaynor. I think she does some good tracks from Gloria Gaynor. We've got 10 performers, basically, or 9 of us on stage, and then we've got a sound tech and lighting assistant as well. So multiple drummers that come in and assist with us. We've got a keyboard player, a bass player, the 3 horns, which is the trumpet, sax and trombone, as well as our lead guitarist as well.
You're getting me really pumped. Like, where can we hear this band? It sounds fabulous.
Yeah, we've been fortunate enough to be down at the Boat Club and basically every 2 months since 2014. Once every 2 months we're down at the Boat Club for a Saturday night. And they've been a big, big supporter of us and really helped us stay established in the region. We're also fortunate enough to have performed the B Business and Tourism Awards, which is one of the target events that the whole band was initially put forward for. And we're very, very fortunate to have been invited back. And this is a bit of a special note. Not too many people know
scoop.
This one.
Yeah, oh, a bit of almost. A scoop.
We've been invited to perform back at Relish Food and Wine Festival again this
fantastic.
Year as well.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so some of the performances we get out of Merivale and some of the crowds we get, they just, takes us to a different place. It's just really exciting that and those bigger events, really the energy that you get from those big events and the energy that the crowd gives you and feeds back to you when you're on stage just builds you up into a little bit of a hype, and you just get higher and higher and higher, and by the time you finish your 3 hours worth of performance, 2 1.5 hour sets or something, you're really, really buzzing. You don't want to stop, you know. So yeah, we've really enjoyed those gigs the last couple of years, and we're very fortunate to be invited back again this year for it. So that's exciting.
That's fantastic. So you're on Facebook and Instagram?
Yes, Facebook and Instagram, and you can catch us around local venues, local festivals, I suppose, and throughout the year, even the Fisherman's Ball, which is we've done for the last 4 years now, I believe. Upstairs at the RSL, that's normally the last weekend in August.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm running off
no,
the top
that's
of my head
okay.
here for some of these dates.
So on but, going back to Facebook and Instagram, your yep. Soul City? So,
yep, Soul City QLD.
QLD on the end.
Soul City QLD. You know, for Queensland, you will find another Soul City in America there somewhere.
I'm sure.
They're just not as good as us.
Yeah, absolutely. Andre, is there anything else that you'd like to share?
Oh, look, I could talk all day. But
you do have a nice voice, so I'm quite okay with that.
Oh, lovely, thanks. No, we just really encourage everyone to come out and enjoy the showcase that is Soul City, because you know, we've put together some of the best players from around the region, and you know, our backup vocalist is obviously, I mentioned she was Alexi Truscott. She used to be in Maribor. She's now living on the Sunshine Coast, so she's still more than happy to come up for performances in our region as well. So yeah, really excited to have such great artists working together. And look, if people can come out and see that this is actually a local group doing this, it's not someone from Melbourne or not someone from Sydney that's the best of the best from down there, you know, where we absolutely mix it with the best of the best that are the performers from down those regions. And yeah, really, it's just something special which we have. And you're hard pushed to find bands in Brisbane and the Gold Coast that perform to this level.
Yeah.
You really are. And I can say that because I've come from Brisbane too.
So, yeah, fantastic. Yeah. But you're Hervey Bay now.
Yes,
you're fairly
I've been
well
here for a while.
Here.
Yeah, and I'm not going anywhere anytime soon.
Is your mother-in-law here still?
Yeah, still here.
Oh,
still
that's
here.
Awesome.
Yeah. No, we've made quite strong connections around the region, and yeah. Look, I love it. The atmosphere you get down here, and obviously I'm in Hervey Bay as well, so just having the beach 5 minutes away is, and the lifestyle, look, I can't complain, and you just don't find it too many other places.
Yeah.
You really don't.
Andre, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your experience with Soul City.
Thank you for letting me talk your ear off.
Oh, it's wonderful. What a great story. Honestly, had no idea that you were going to be so community focused.
Oh, okay.
Blows my mind.
Well, it's music. It's something as artists that we always do. We always give back. That's the whole idea. But there's no point in having all this knowledge and information stuck in our own heads and performing just for ourselves. It has to be given back. It has to be passed on. So the more people that take it up, the more willing we are to let them all know that there's a different world out there. Come and join the music world.
Thanks very much, Andre.
That's all right, no worries.